Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Let's Get Busy. I'm your host, Carly Commando, and on this part two episode with Lorena Bravo, we are going to talk about the three P's of small business: passion, process, and people. We're also going to hear about Lorena's cats and how she personally balances that small business life with her personal life. Enjoy! So when you're working with small businesses, what is a common challenge that you see across the board, and how do you help them tackle it?
When I've met with people who have either started their business already, have been in business, or are looking to start a business, the one thing that comes easiest is the idea. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a pouring of ideas. So the passion is there, and the craft, what they're looking to do and how they're going to utilize their own assets, their mm-hmm. personal assets to do it, is never a question. That is always the easiest. It's awesome. But the challenge is being able to now take that passion, mm-hmm. right, and then bottle it up, and then put it into a strategy where, okay, this is a business. And so there are steps and there are politics to having a business. There are federal, state, local considerations, depending on the type of business that you have. Like, then it could be more things. It could be less things. Mm-hmm. There could be limitations to the type of things that you can do with your talent, no matter how talented you are. Mm-hmm. So the biggest challenge is understanding all of the steps that need to be taken and strategizing on when to take those steps, mm-hmm. and then following through, because some of the steps are just time consuming, mm-hmm. and many times in order for one thing to happen, another thing needs to happen sometimes at the same time. Yes, four. And if those things are not being paid attention to, mm-hmm. then you could run into an issue where all of a sudden your big dream is now causing you this heartache and it's a mm-hmm. nightmare and you don't love it. I think that's a big challenge.
How do you help people when they get overwhelmed with that process?
Me personally, I send very comprehensive emails. Mm-hmm. And it takes me a few hours to get back to a client and say, hey, this is what we talked about. This is where you're at. Mm-hmm. This is where you're going. Mm-hmm. This is how we get there. And depending on the style of my client, I have clients who are like, send me, and I let them know that I'm going to send you a full email with a lot of information. Would you rather me send you the first thing that I think we need to tackle? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to see it all at once? Mm-hmm. Whichever one you prefer, I'll go with.
Yeah.
And that's how we work together. Now, that's a challenge for people who are starting a business, mm-hmm. that is common. But there are challenges for people who are already in business.
Yeah.
And that's different. One of the ones that I have to mention is feedback. Mm-hmm. Getting feedback mm-hmm. is one of the toughest things. And I'm saying this as a former business owner myself. Mm-hmm. Being criticized, especially on a platform or even if it's private, via email, being criticized by the thing that you spend, about the thing that you spend so much time and energy creating and building, is a very tough thing to overcome.
Yeah.
But it is something that business owners should train themselves into doing. I learned to do that with my business. I learned to say thank you to the bad reviews. Mm-hmm. And the good reviews, but I always was grateful, and I was especially kind and thoughtful towards the negative reviews. Mm-hmm. I would always invite people back, and that is not often the knee-jerk reaction.
I love that you're you're basically advising us that we just need to Ariana Grande it and do a thank you next.
Yeah.
To the feedback. Not maybe next, because we can't fire our attorney sometimes, but yeah. We need them. But yeah, or our clients.
Sometimes.
But appreciate the feedback and be kind to ourselves in the process.
Welcome the feedback.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, even if it's not well-founded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're learning something, right? You're learning that maybe this client is not for me. And so how can I make it my process better so that I get more of the clients that I'm going to make happy and maybe not attract every client that we're not going to be a good match?
Yeah.
And the same with advice that you're getting from people like me, a legal advisor or an insurance agent. If they're not being helpful, then you know that, okay, you're learning in that moment, even if the feedback isn't great, that this is not a person that I need to work with because it's mm-hmm. making my life harder.
Yeah.
So
that's really great. Really great insight. So you specialize in helping minority-owned and bilingual businesses. What are some distinct challenges that they face, and how do you empower them to overcome these hurdles?
Well, the best, easiest way for me, I mean, if it's a Spanish-speaking client, it's obviously being able to offer the service in Spanish. Mm-hmm. That brings me great satisfaction, and I know that I'm bridging a gap.
Mm-hmm.
That not all of us, even here in our team, nobody else is bilingual. Mm-hmm. So that makes me very happy and proud, and that's the first very best way that I can help
mm-hmm.
Minority businesses that are also Spanish speaking. But minority businesses are so many than just Spanish speaking, right? And so for me, having lived through some of my experiences, right, of being in school, not understanding English, coming to college and still not being the best at English speaking, I think that I get it. Again, mm-hmm. empathy
yep.
is a big thing. And I know that there's passion there. And I know what it takes. It's a very brave thing
yes.
To be able to confront some of the things that minority business owners know that they're going to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are systems in organizations
mm-hmm.
that are not equitable, that are not fair. And that is something that we are always aware of mm-hmm. as small business owners. And we are already braving starting a business. And now we have to brave being able to overcome these challenges that through no fault of their own, they're having to face, and I'm there to be a liaison and a helper mm-hmm. in that endeavor.
Yeah. I also just want to highlight, which is slightly plugging the KUSBDC social media, but one of the things that we have just implemented in our own social media is having Spanish translations on our social media, which I think is really cool, because if we're an organization that is here to help, you know, small businesses, and we have a bilingual consultant, and we really want to do our best to bridge the gap of, you know, of knowledge and who it belongs to, I feel like incorporating bilingual social media is super important. And so I just want to say thank you for really bringing that to our attention and to just helping us make it happen. And so we're modeling the things that we're offering to people, and that we're not just saying these are things that need to happen, but we're doing them, doing our best to implement them.
Yeah, and I think for me, a personal goal is to be able to, in my position, I'm very fortunate that we get to work with some of our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're having a conversation with a partner and we're saying, hey, if I have a client that has this need and I send them to you, can you meet that need?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of our biggest things is we want to be able to provide equitable services and you know, we start with small steps. My goal ultimately is everything that we have in English, we get to do in Spanish. And it doesn't happen like I know that doesn't happen on its own, right? And just like in Wendy's, not everybody needs to be bilingual in order for us as a team to be able to provide these services. You're saying that we now have bilingual post captions and things like that, and I'm not the one posting, you are, or maybe other members of our team. And we're able to accomplish that because process and people. And seriously, and because the knowledge, it doesn't have to be there. There just has to be enough willingness to be able to, for all of us to come together and be kind to one another and bridge that gap together. So I don't feel alone, even though I alone speak Spanish.
Yeah, you feel supported by the team.
Absolutely. We're all doing it.
Everything you're saying is really beautiful and genuine, and it just makes me happy that you're my first guest. So what would you say your favorite part of working with entrepreneurs is?
One of the very best things that happens in my day-to-day is getting to ask someone what it is that they have an idea about. And then hearing this trepidation, but excitement, and there's just so much there. And like, there's a lot of emotion there. Even the quiet ones have a quiet emotion about it. And then my favorite question to ask is, what's holding you back? And being able to say, after that, when there's this one thing, whether that's a personal thing, a financial aspect, a material aspect, whatever that might be, an emotional hurdle, there's always one answer that is very unique. And then I know immediately that that's where we need to focus first. And I love that part is, we could talk for 2 hours about your big idea. And then I wonder, why now? Like, why haven't you done it yet? What's holding you back?
Yeah.
What's keeping you from doing it? And there's always something in it. And that's one favorite thing is hearing that pain point. And it's usually very specific to one thing.
When you hear that pain point, as a consultant, does it almost energize you because you want to problem solve it with them and help them?
Yes. I love that. Because I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, I always think, okay, they're going to say it's $1 million. They need $1 million. Right. And that is one thing that I'm like, okay, I don't have $1 million. I don't.
Everyone always says $1 million for any, like, what do you need? $1 million.
I mean, now it's like 3 million if you
really want to make a difference. Yeah, 1 million now is a penny. So.
But for me, it normally always is something that is beyond the financing. Because even if somebody needs financing, there's something else that's holding them back. And it might be that their credit score isn't great. And then we don't know how to rebuild it. So then we start working on that. Like, oh. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, and there is always a way to make that better. For example, if that was the thing, like what's holding them back is not that they can't get a loan, is that they can't get a loan because there's bad credit or because something else happened. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe they got hacked. That's a true story.
Oh yeah.
And so you never know, but you start from that. If that is the thing that is keeping you up at night, then that is the first thing that we're going to chip at.
I love it. You're like the problem-solving superhero. Well, for in addition to being super empathetic and helpful.
Well, the part that works there is that I'm not emotionally connected to the business. I'm emotionally connected to them.
Yeah.
As a person, but not to the business. That is so different. I'm like, I am objective to the business. I might be subjective to my client. I don't know if that's making sense, but...
I feel like that's also great for our listeners to hear, because sometimes people feel like embarrassed. Like, it's such a vulnerable thing to be sharing your dream with other people and be asking for help. That's such... You put yourself in that position of vulnerability. And it's almost comforting for me to hear you say, I care about the person, not the idea. I'm not judging the idea. I just want to help the person achieve this dream. And there's, you know, it's a complicated process, but we're going to navigate this process together. I love hearing that from you. So if anyone's ever nervous or scared or intimidated, you heard it here first. We're not attached to your dream. We're attached to you. We want to help you.
Yeah.
So whatever that vision is, we're here for it. But we're mostly here for you. And there's like, we just want you to achieve greatness.
Yeah. I truly do feel that. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure you love their ideas too.
Honestly. I love, you know what? You know why I'm like the best one? I buy into everyone's idea. First of all, I love everyone's idea. I think it's great. And I myself had an idea that my mother said, that is silly. Don't do it. She's mm-hmm. like, what? And I built a business initially to prove her wrong. Yes. Because I was just like, I think this is going to be a thing. And I never even did market research. I never did any of the things that I encourage my clients to do. So I totally relate to that. Like, if you believe it,
yeah,
then it's a thing. You know, it could be a thing. And so I take every idea very seriously, but I am going to poke holes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you, how are you going to do that? Why is that important? What problem are you solving? And so your goal should be to make me believe in that. I get excited easily, but then yeah. we got to like think about the actual mechanisms.
Do you find that people have a fake it till you make it energy, right? Like people that are almost overconfident in that idea, like maybe because they're trying to prove themselves to someone. Do you find that there's a difference between like their trajectory than people who are excited about idea but a little bit more timid and scared? I always wonder about that because there's always that, you know, like manifesting your life mentality that I hear lots of people talk about. And if you believe it, it'll happen. Do you ever encounter that with any clients where you find that people are just so convinced that their dream, like their business idea is the best? And because of that, you might see them have an easier time, or is that not something that you ever see?
No, what I see, what I encounter in my position mainly is there are two types of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to say that there are two types of people, but there are two types of thinking about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who think about themselves as doing something for themselves,
mm-hmm.
no matter what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It could be mechanical stuff. It could mm-hmm. be retail. It could be whatever. They just see themselves as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. as a business owner. And those are the ones that I think I am cautious of. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm cautious of them, but I ask them to tread with some trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just really think about the thing that makes you so unique that you're going to be successful at blank.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who have the passion, even if they said, you know, I have this crazy idea and it's these crazy wigs, if they can think about that and be almost maniacal mm-hmm. about that, that's never a problem because they're yeah. always going to believe in their product and themselves and their ability to be able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
It's to just want to be the CEO of anything.
Yeah.
And that was like a hashtag, like a funny thing, CEO of, maybe in 2020 or 2021, is okay, but not just anything. You want to be successful at the yeah. thing and you want to be passionate about it.
Yeah.
So that's what I see.
Passion and process.
Yeah. But passion fuels that process.
Yeah.
If you have a process without passion and then without the people, you're part of the people part, then it's not going to be good.
All right, so we've got three important P's so far in this podcast. That's a fourth.
People, what?
People, process, and passion.
And passion, yes.
I love it. If you could give one piece of advice to someone who is thinking about starting a business but they're feeling unsure about it, what would you tell them?
If you're feeling unsure about it, I would say attend a first step workshop, because it makes you think about business. And we, during the first step, we talk about legal considerations, tax considerations. We talk about business planning, all of the other stuff that doesn't require the passion part. It just requires that you know of these things and that you set yourself up for success if you do these things, if you're paying attention, if you're educated. I think that starting a business, I mean, you could bootstrap it. You could start a business with however much it costs to get a registration, get an LLC with the state. That's how much it's going to cost initially. But then later on, right? Like, what's your skin in the game? How much money are you willing to lose?
Mm-hmm.
How much money are you willing, how many nights are you willing to maybe not have good sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't know that right off the bat. I didn't know that I was never going to go to, I think I only attended maybe three of my son's t-ball games.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
Yeah. But it is one of those things, Carly, that I don't regret.
Yeah.
Because my son, now who's 17, has an opinion of me that is based on how much I worked my butt off and what I've been able to do for my community. I'm very involved in Allentown and that. And he knows that trajectory and he respects it. And I have been tempted at times to, like, you know, like, I missed so many games and I didn't, you know, but that was my balance.
Yeah.
And I was successful and I built something that I'm very proud of and I'm still a good mom. So, but that was my balance for me.
Yeah.
You can't go into business ownership thinking that you're going to have all this free time.
Yes.
That's a fallacy. And being a small business owner, the business owner that believes that just because you own your own business, you're not going to have to work additional time. And you can make your own schedule. And you can go on these vacations and that. You don't, you're not ready for a small business ownership. Because chances are you're not going to be able to accomplish those two things very, very fast. At least not at the beginning. Unless you're superhuman, which is possible.
There are out there, but this is like the realest answer, right? That's so true.
I think so.
And even like you saying it, I'm thinking about all these small business owners that I know, especially working in the restaurant industry for my whole life. As a musician, I've always worked part-time jobs that can be flexible around my schedule. And I think of all of my favorite bosses and how hard they work and how the balance is difficult. I mean, they make time, but it's like you saying it, I'm like connecting the dots to different business owners that I know, and it's true. Definitely something I've seen.
Hello, everyone. I hope you are enjoying this episode of the KUSBDC podcast, Let's Get Busy. If you are a small business owner or you work at Kutztown University and you would like to be a guest on our podcast, you can reach us at sbdc@kutztown.edu. You can also contact us directly on Instagram at KutztownSBDC. Now, back to the show.
How do you personally balance your consulting life with your personal life?
I talk every day, all the time. So the balance is talking enough that I get enough in at work, but then also at home. I keep politics in my life. Mm-hmm. I love politics, mm-hmm. and I'm a student of humanities, so anything that combines people and politics is, you know, I think I said it in my previous message, everything is politics, and mm-hmm. politics is everything. The balance is, while we don't really discuss politics at work, and none of what I do has anything to do with maybe political theory, we do follow a process that is governed by policies mm-hmm. and rules, and I love that.
Yeah.
That's my jam. I really do well with strategy for that reason. And then at home, I get to talk the politics.
Yeah.
And I live with a 17-year-old who's a contrarian, and my husband, and we welcome really difficult, fun, challenging conversations, and it's awesome. We have differing political ideologies and at home, and we're very respectful, but we talk about it at the dinner table, while we're walking the dogs, whenever we're doing anything, and we challenge each other. And that is my balance, being able to follow something where I don't really have to have an opinion about this or the rules. Mm-hmm. So this is how it goes, into let's break out like all of the rules. What if we didn't have any rules? Then what would this world be like?
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, the best part about finding the balance is getting to the point where we all agree on something, which normally we all agree on something. So
I wasn't expecting for you to say that your like home life balance is talking politics with your family.
That keeps me sharp.
This is amazing.
Keeps my eyes sharp.
Yeah, he keeps you on your toes, it sounds like.
I keep him on his
toes. Oh! Yeah. Even better. Even better. You're like, Mom has a master's in this, okay?
He should be in this.
We'll bring him in for episode 31. In promoting community growth in your work, how do you envision the future of small businesses in South Central Pennsylvania?
Oh, I envision us getting more together, getting mm-hmm. more people together. There's a really big need for networking. I think that everybody was kind of almost very happy and relieved to be home and social distance and just be a little hermit for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And now I think that people are ready to be back. We just hosted a workshop.
A sold-out workshop.
It was sold out with Brittany Stevens, mm-hmm. and something really incredible was happening there. And so we had this room full of people, and they're listening to this amazing influencer. She just is a great spirit. Follow Brittany. And all of a sudden, there were questions, and before you knew it, these business owners were sharing ideas and talking with each other, and Brittany was giving out the mic like, how did you do that? And then somebody else would say, I did this. And mm-hmm. then at the end of this workshop, you know, and that happened so spontaneously, and it was awesome. And it's business owners just, I don't think that they came for the networking.
Yeah.
But the sharing of ideas was just really, really cool. And I really envision more of that.
Yeah.
I envision the SBDC being a center for those conversations to happen, for that collaboration to continue to take place, to be born and to evolve. And, I mean, if we can include our Spanish-speaking business owners, then more power to us.
So yeah,
that's how I envision that, just more collaboration and more businesses talking to each other and helping each other out. Competition when I was in business was mm-hmm. fierce, and you would block each other out, especially in the beauty industry. Mm. But what I see now, there's been a shift. And beauty salons now follow each other, mm-hmm. they like each other, and So I don't know. I envision more of that, and just like we're all here. We all want the same thing. It's just be happy. And so how do we not get in each other's way?
Yeah, how do we grow and learn from each other?
Yeah.
While and support each other at the same time?
Yeah.
I love that you said that, you know, people came for the workshop, but they stayed for the networking. And there's so much truth in that. Like, as a community, we need to connect with each other. And, like, that's, again, the point of this podcast is to let people know that you're not alone. Small business can be a daunting task. Like, passion is great, but there's a lot to it. But you're not alone in that. There's so many people struggling and finding their footing. And there might be other people that have found what works really well for them. That might be in your industry or your, you know, your field. That might be really great to get to know. And so I just love this whole essence of community and connection.
Yeah.
Because that's how we all grow. And also, I think it's so interesting that you mentioned, like, you know, when you had your business, people didn't follow each other. It was like this competitive thing.
Well, we did, but it was almost like to be like, oh,
yeah,
she's doing good. I want to do better than her.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and there's still some of that
sure.
happens. And that is a natural part. Like,
yes.
We're competing.
Yeah.
We're competing for the same clients. We're competing for those dollars.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But I think that there's a healthy balance there where maybe you're not going to be best friends with the other hair salon that's right next to you, but you could develop a friendship with the baker that's going to maybe help you cater your next event at your salon. Like, it's about that and being able to sort of navigate that without being hateful towards one another and just being more respectful of where everybody's at. You still don't have to be best friends, but that was not the case when I was a small business owner. It happened very, very, in very tiny ways.
Small steps.
Yeah.
I love that. I forget who said it, but someone was saying, maybe it was Patton Oswalt, but that, like, in playing the comparison game, whether you're an artist or a business owner or whatever, if you look at, like, whatever business that you're comparing yourself to, person, place, whatever, use that as your roadmap to where you want to go. If it's someone who has what you don't have, it's really easy to just not feel like you're good enough. But if you reframe that and say, oh, let me look, what are they doing that's working? Obviously not copying people exactly what they're doing, but you can be inspired by them and you can take the certain things that they might share on social media or that they do and implement it into your practice.
I love what you said, because you should be a consultant. Because, no, I actually, we do something that's called the pitch, then the plan as part of the process. And in the pitch, I always do ask my clients to list their competitors. Mm-hmm. And then they have to list what their competitors are doing well. No BS. You have to tell me what they're doing well. And then tell me what you are going to do that's maybe going to complement what they're not doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to be able to tell me, what is it that they're doing really well? And where is the area of opportunity that will come from me complementing that? Like, they're doing this really well. Don't reinvent the wheel. That's great. There are people for that. What are you going to do that's going to be different and that's going to be your sazon, your thing, right? So I love that. Okay, sign up.
Okay.
To be a...
All right. Therapist and consultant.
And consultant.
I mean,
yes.
So now you need to go and get your master's as well in professional counseling.
Yeah.
So I love it. That was like such a great unintentional segue into all that stuff. And I'm glad that you talked about the pitch and the plan, because that's an important part
tools.
Of the consultant. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to go to the rapid fire questions. What is one tool or app? If you have more, I'll allow it. What is one tool or app that you can't live without?
I love the app Elevate.
Oh, what is
that? Because it's an app where I try to keep a streak every day where I do a crossword puzzle. I'm obsessed with words. I don't know all of the English that I need to know, but I do love learning new words and I love utilizing them in my speech.
Mm-hmm.
So they give me a word of the day, which I love. And then they have other mental games to keep me sharp.
Oh, do you remember what today's word was?
Was it precautious?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're the one who has the app.
I don't know.
Precautious.
I don't know. Let me, actually, can I look?
Yes, you're allowed to look.
It's called Elevate. See? Look it. Recommended for me today. Look, I'm fiery because I've done, look at all of these days. The blue means I'm frozen. My brain.
Uh-oh.
I didn't do that on that day.
The equivalent of this me was playing Brain Age on my Nintendo DS. That would keep me young.
Okay, no. Today, it was mollify.
Mollify. All right, listeners, today's word of the day from Elevate app is mollify. Would you like to tell us about this word?
To calm or comfort.
Oh.
Lorena is here to mollify her clients.
Yeah.
Is that a good
thing? We're here to mollify our listeners.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know.
Or do you mollify like a dog? I don't know. Oh, no. His concerns were mollified by her assurances. Oh.
Beautiful. You did it correctly.
See?
I love it. And if you had to give a TED talk on any subject other than business, since we know you have a lot of thoughts on that, what would your TED talk be about?
My mother.
Why?
Because she's so entertaining and she's wonderful and she's loving and she's like the best human.
I love that answer. And she took you to your Wendy's interview at age 16.
Yeah.
So I love her too.
Yep.
She was there to support you. Okay. For anyone that does not follow, who is Lorena Bravo on Instagram?
It's an easy one to remember.
It is really easy. So Lorena has an Instagram reel that has over 3.2 million plays, which is amazing. And it's a kitten playing with pasta. Like, it's a foster kitten playing with pasta.
And my dad.
And your dad. So, yeah, it's about fostering a kitten, pasta, and dad. And I know that you love cats. Can you tell us about your love of cats, and can you also tell the listeners the names of your cats?
Okay, so that the story of that is my dad is Italian. That's my stepdad. I call him dad because he's a dad to me. But I do love my biological dad too. He won't be able to understand anything that we're saying, mm-hmm. but I still need to say that just in case my brothers are listening.
Cover your tracks.
So, yep. I love my father, my biological, and my stepdad. So that's my stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes pasta every day. Fresh pasta. He's Italian, straight from Bologna. And so they had this kitten that they were fostering. And she was, when you roll pasta, you have to lay it out so that it can dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pasta is drying on the table and this kitten is just trying with all its might to get this pasta because for her that's a game, right? But you get pasta, a kitten, and wonderful older gentleman in a video and you get 3.2 million views.
The world loves it. That's the recipe for success.
Yeah. And I love cats. I mean, cats are just so awesome. In my opinion, a cat loves a cat.
Yep.
The cat loves nothing else than itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it loves itself so much that I find it very special. I think I mentioned it. So special when a cat chooses your lap as a resting place. It is so unique. I love dogs. I have dogs. And their loyalty is just unparalleled. But to get that cat, that crazy little cut to mm-hmm. just like be nice to you.
Yes,
it's a challenge, and I take on that challenge with gusto every day, every second. I just love my cats. So we have a bunch of cats. One is Catty B. One is Mina. All like singer-type names. Pink Jovi. We have a picture of Pink Jovi here.
Pink Jovi's my favorite cat name.
Yeah, and he lets me dress him up, and Shakira. And she's probably the worst cat in the world.
Well, to wrap up with you, I would like to say, or ask you one more question, which is, what is one resource that you think every small business owner should know about?
That could sound SBDC. No, truly, it's so amazing. So SBDCs are all over Pennsylvania. We have 15 centers, and every center has something that's unique to them. Kutztown is unique because we're in it, but also because our team of student workers and GAs and interns and Rachel, Ernie, everybody, Taya, everybody who's here makes Kutztown University's SBDC that much more special. It's a very unique space. We offer the same benefits that other SBDCs do, but we also offer more. The PA desk is such a great resource for businesses, and so I think that that is the one business resource that you should not live without. And we are open to working with clients from other parts that are outside of our territory.
Yeah, and for anyone listening who doesn't know what PA Desk is, it's essentially a part of the KU SBDC that functions as a small digital marketing agency, which is very, very cool. Where can our listeners find you, besides the Instagram handle that I plugged for everyone to know?
At Who is Lorena Bravo.
At Who is Lorena Bravo on Instagram. How can folks learn more about the services that you offer here at the Kutztown University SBDC?
Well, our office is open every day from 8 to 4:30 p.m. We're in Old Main in room 27, F-Wing, East Wing.
That's right. F-Wing. Okay. Thank you so much for being my personal first guest, but also for being on the Let's Get Busy podcast. Is there anything you would like to say to our listeners as a parting gift?
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed this very much. There's a lot more to unpack. Yeah. I look forward to listening to other ones. But thank you. It takes a village. It truly does. And so this does not happen without you two. So thank you.
Thank you so much to everyone for listening to this episode of Let's Get Busy. Thank you so much to our video editor and audio engineer, Hayden, and to our operations and set design manager, Emily. And thank you so much to Lorena for being here today. And everyone, have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Let's Get Busy, brought to you by the Kutztown University Small Business Development Center. We're proud to empower small businesses across the counties of Berks, Lancaster, Lebanon, Chester, and Dauphin, with our no-cost consulting, resources, and mentorship to help you grow. For more expert advice and support, please visit us at pasbdc.org. Join us next time for more stories and insights from local business owners and industry experts. Remember, success is just one step away. Keep busy and let us help you grow your business with confidence. Have a great day.